Cobra number one, and you are listening to The Brutal Truth here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is so that you and your loved ones can help navigate this nasty, stinking, wretched, disgusting system. Make sure you visit www.CobrasInAction.org so that you can begin to understand racism. And also, pass along to your family and friends what we're doing. It's important that everyone that is remotely interested in countering racism is aware of what we're doing at CobrasInAction.org and also the Black Talk Radio Network. So again, make sure you pass on to your family and friends CobrasInAction.org. Make sure you know, once you're on the site, go scroll down to the bottom of the page and follow us on Twitter, you know, like us on Facebook. We post content to SoundCloud, and we're going to begin posting content to YouTube and Instagram as well. But, you know, make sure you follow us on our social media accounts. And also, you can always send me an email. That's cobra.org@mail.com. Again, that's cobra.org@mail.com. So you are listening to The Brutal Truth. I used to call this Black News, but, you know, I found out that in doing several shows that my interest was not really in covering news as much as it is in just giving you my opinion and my take on things. And under 10 minutes, we try to keep it under 10 minutes. But, you know, some of you all know that sometimes I can really get into what I'm talking about. And I will go over 10 minutes. But tonight should be a relatively short show. So let's get right into it. A lot of stuff has been going on. You know, everyone's talking about the Oscars. And yes, I did sit down. I watched the entire Oscars. And I thought it was a train wreck. It was pathetic, as always. And we were acting very pathetic, as always. I will get into that in a moment. And then you had the leaders of the HBCUs at the White House meeting with President Trump. It was nothing but a photo op. Do not be fooled. HBCUs is not your most pressing concern as a Black person. It really isn't. You really shouldn't be paying for school in the first place. That's just another way to keep most of us out, and not just us, but just most people out in general, but especially us, because most of us, we don't really have that kind of money in the first place to be, you know, worrying about going to some school, spending 4 years in some, you know, in some school. And even if you can muster up the money, many of you all's life situations just isn't agreeable with waiting to earn a real income. Why do you have to go some? Think about it. Why do you have to go somewhere, get yourself into debt just to work? Because that's the only reason why people are going to school. They're going to school so that they can be more marketable when they go and look for a job. But think about it, folks. For people that traditionally have been left out of the wealth building mechanisms in this country, going to school is not, and paying and getting into more debt, especially given that most of us, we don't have no inheritance that's coming our way, or we don't have no big check coming our way from insurance or anything like that. Or, you know, there's not a lot of generational wealth amongst Black people, and we know why. So if you are coming from a people with this circumstance, then spending some money on some education to work is stupid, but you have to do it. And what I'm saying is that this is not by accident. Okay. This is not by accident. This is by design. Like, they have IQ tests. This is another mechanism to keep niggas out. White people have always been concerned with keeping as much as they can to themselves. That's why you had a KKK in the first place. They saw all these, you know, all these skilled Black people now so-called being granted their freedom. What were they afraid of? Jobs. The same thing that's happening now with the so-called illegal immigrants in 2017. It's white people responding to their perception that Mexicans and other brown people are taking their jobs. Same thing that happened with you right after slavery and the Reconstruction period. They said, niggas taking our jobs from good, decent white Christian folk? Nah, we can't let that slide. And so they went out and they got sheets and they began terrorizing black people. So we need to understand that, you know, the HBCU is not all that it's cracked up to be. At the end of the day, we need to be focusing on education. Education is key. Okay, but you have to listen to what I'm saying. The HBCU in its present form, you know, where only mostly middle class, so-called, I don't believe in the middle class, but for the sake of conversation, let's just say it, so-called middle class blacks can afford HBCUs, barely. All right. And this is not idea. Every black person needs to have access to an education. And when we talk about education, we need to start thinking about education in its totality, not just going to some brick house somewhere, sitting down and learning about, you know, what George Washington did in the American Revolutionary War, or how the first nigga took a bullet in the American Revolutionary War. You know, that stuff is neither here nor there. If your education is not about solving problems, you are wasting your time. And in 2017, I consistently keep telling you that your problem is white people. If you are black, then your problem is white people, period. I don't give a shit if you are married to a white person. I don't care if your mother is white. I don't care if your father is white. This has nothing to do with your individual relationship with some white person somewhere. You sitting up here and your ability to do analysis is blocked because you worried about some personal relationship you have with your white boyfriend or your white girlfriend. You need to grow up and you need to grow a pair of eyes, because obviously you're not looking. Anywhere you look, any corner of the map, any corner of the globe, white people are dominating, and it's not by accident. And I can't stand to hear black people in denial talking about some, we have some
good white ones. There's some good white people. Why you wanna get on all white people? There's some good white people. My friend is a good white person.
Missing the whole point.
They're all not bad. So some of them are good. Good, decent white Christians, yes. They spread Christianity. They help to civilize the natives. Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that I was taken from Africa, you see, because I was not civilized. I was uncivilized in Africa. The white man showed me the way. I'm thankful to the white man. See, this is how some black people are thinking, you see, and this is incorrect. This is incorrect.
So-called civilization, because, you know, I argue that there really hasn't been a civilization, period. I don't care if you're talking about ancient Egypt. I don't care if you're talking about Rome. I don't care if you're talking about Greece, you know, that fuddy-duddy of a civilization. I don't care what civilization you're talking about. I don't care if you're talking about the United States of America. There ain't really been no civilization. Why? Because throughout history, people have not been civil towards each other. You can't have no civilization, but you have massive levels of mistreatment. Let me say this. There hasn't been a civilization that I'm aware of. Now, you know what I'm saying? You want to pull up Professor Akupufu somewhere and he has some evidence that, 4,000 years ago, somewhere in sub-Saharan Africa, there was a group of people, or there was some tribe or something, where there was really no mistreatment, and, you know, everyone treated everyone with respect, and nobody was being taken advantage of, and those that needed the most help received the most help. There was actually a mechanism within the society in which literally the whole goal was helping people. Then I would say, oh, okay, well, there you go. There's your civilization. Maybe that happened. I'm not aware of a civilization like that. Maybe close to that, maybe is ancient Egypt, from some of the stuff I've read on ancient Egypt. But the mere fact that you have kings and queens in ancient Egypt, to me, it's kind of indicative of, okay, there probably was some mistreatment. Nothing like with Europeans, obviously, because these crackers have been, you know, in modern times, there ain't been nobody that's been more violent, more sick, just more selfish than white people. And, you know, I tell any white person that to their face, you know, if we're talking honestly, nothing against that person personally, but facts are facts. You look at what Europeans have done, all their wars, how they mistreat, not even just black people, how they mistreat themselves. Even now, I black people just don't understand. And this is a perfect segue to the Oscars. Why are we always trying to be with these people and trying to get validation from these people? They look at you as second rate. If you look at the Constitution, you are considered 3/4 of a person. Now, what do you think changed their thinking? So many black people acting as if white people never looked at them as 3/4 of a person. Oh, well, we change now. We change now. Well, times are different. That's not good enough evidence. You need to point to me and say, look, you know, within 100, 200 years in which that document was written, probably even longer, this happened, which I credit as fundamentally changing white people's thoughts and soul about black people and what they think of black people. Point to me what that is, because of what I know about history, there hasn't been anything to me that would suggest that no kind of event that would serve as a catalyst to truly getting white people to change their opinions about black people. You know, there was a civil rights movement, and, you know, there was Dr. King, and part of his whole nonviolent approach was that he wanted media coverage of just the mistreatment of black people, because his premise was that, well, obviously these crackers must not know of just how hypocritical they are. They are being hypocritical towards their own values. So just if we show them just how they're being mistreated, then their hearts will change, and then their hearts will melt, and they will see, the nigger, the big bad nigger, is nothing to be afraid of, but someone to hold and caress. You see, because so cuddly, so nice. See, good little Ezra, nice little Ezra. Good, yes, the way you run, the way you jump, good, very impressive. That's good, Ezra. Yeah, you can write too. Oh, isn't that nice? Yes. You see, black people want validation from white people. And what I'm saying is that Dr. King's premise was that, oh, well, you know, these good little wasps, these good little God-fearing Christian crackers, they'll look at the media coverage every night with Walter Cronkite, whoever the hell was doing it at the time. Oh, more Negro youth abused today in the urban cities by whatever. And they will look at that and they will say, oh, they're human beings just like us. They're really not 3/4 a person. They're human beings just like us. And guess what? What Cobra number one is here to tell you right now on The Brutal Truth is that haven't panned out now, has it? Because the last time I checked, niggas are still getting shot 100 bullets at a time. Where was that, in Ohio? Cop gets on top of the car. Both suspects are dead, male and female. I don't know if they were, you know, parents, but male and female, they both were dead. The cracker gets on top of the car and shoots the gun another 100 times in the windshield. You going to get these niggas. Bang, 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 bang. How do you account for that? Now, you take Trayvon Martin. I'm just going off the top of my head. You take Trayvon Martin. It was an insult for them to have a trial, given the facts of the case. They told this cracker, take your ass home. We'll take care of it. That to the end of discussion. He should have never gotten out the car. He had the car. All he had to do was drive off. The mere fact that white people, and I know a lot of you remember this, talking to white people, what did they tell you? Oh, well, let's just wait. Let the law handle itself. Let's just wait and see what the law says. Let's wait and see what the juror says. When common sense dictates, that man was wrong. He was in the wrong entirely. White people justifying George Zimmerman sending this honorary Hispanic racist, this little fat racist, sending him checks, you know, get well wishes and good luck wishes and all that, sending him all this shit. And you have black people here sitting here, not knowing the time of day, not knowing what's going on, thinking you are accepted as equal. Get the hell out of here with that crap. It makes me sick. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. People not wanting to take responsibility for themselves and counter white people, because that's ultimately what you have to do. You have to counter white people. There ain't no good white person. Okay, anyone that's classifying themselves as white is not a good white person, because what they're saying is that, yes, I'm a member of the white race. It's equivalent to someone saying, yes, I'm a Nazi. You a member of the white race, that means something. Means what? Means that I'm superior to you, and I accept that, and I am white in my thought, speech, and action, and I am comfortable with that. Which obviously means that they are perpetuating racism just by the mere admittance that they are part of the white race. They are accepting of the concept of race, and they are accepting of their position within the whole racial hierarchy that they themselves created. So no, there are no other races except white people. They created the whole damn concept. And you have, you know, I look at the Black Lives Matter, and I see all these crackers out there, you know, all these black women, confused black women out there, and you know, they're talking about everything under the sun except white people, talking about transgender issues and homosexuality and women abusiveness towards women and male chauvinism. Man, shut the hell up. Trying to sound like crackers, being co-opted by crackers. No, don't even understand you're being taken advantage of. Your problem is white people. Let me say this real quick. No black person, no black man should be chauvinistic or nothing like that. You have some black men that try to be chauvinistic. Black men ain't got no power in this system. That's a joke. And there shouldn't be any black man hitting on no woman ever. None of that. But my bigger point is that people mistreat each other all the time. So yes, some women are mistreated. White women have been systematically mistreated by white men. So they have a grievance with white men. And black women, however, have not been systematically mistreated by black men. That's the point. You are wasting your time in joining some stupid ass feminist movement. Okay, when your systematic mistreatment, all of your mistreatment collectively comes from white people. See, the Black Lives Matter should not be, we're joining the fight with Latinos, and we're joining the fight with transsexuals and transgender and homosexuals and, you know, just everybody under the sun. But you can't fight for your own self. Don't even have enough courage to stand up for your own miserable nigga self. That's sickening. And last but not least, moving on to the Oscars. That was pathetic. That was disgusting. I saw black people just so happy just to be in the same room with white people, eating on the same candy from the same ceiling from white people, wanting to just sit next to white people and clap with white people and be accepted and hear them and see themselves be rewarded in front of white people. Oh, isn't that so nice? We really have reached the zenith of our existence, you know, being rewarded by some crackers on national, hell, really international television. This is really just the top of the mountain. You see, it is not. It is just more of an indication of our mentality. We have a mentality of slaves. See, you act like a slave. You know, what movie they? Okay, take for instance Viola Davis. I think that's her name, the actress. Very, very good actress. Very good. No one's doubting that at all. This has nothing to do with her ability to act. Gets on the stage crying. Why are you crying? Like, ooh, like, what are you, don't cry. You know, you don't see. She gets on stage and she's crying. This is a white platform.
oh, you know, she's just so happy to get the award. And, you know, she's just so thankful to be acknowledged and so thankful with the opportunity that she's been given. Opportunity given by who? Given by crackers. You see? And so the crackers are looking at that and they're saying, oh, this Negro is very appreciative of what we're done. All this makes us, you know, she was from the ghetto and some white Jesus was able to save her and her miserable family. And now she's paying homage to all the opportunities that we provided. See, that's what they're thinking. And you don't want, even if that's not true about Viola Davis in terms of her own experiences, that's what white people are thinking. That's what that is representing when you have a black person getting up there on some white platform or some white stage with mostly white people looking at you and you taking their rewards. That's what they're looking. They're looking at you as, oh, they're very thankful that they've been accepted into the society, into the mainstream society. Good appreciative Negra. Good little appreciative Negra. See, that's what they're thinking. You don't want to satisfy white people in their sickness at all. You don't want to satisfy their need to feel like gods over you at all. And that's what we need to stop doing. Being happy to sit in the same room with them and showing out for them and being on our so-called best behavior for them. You notice when black people get around white people, you know, we change. We straighten up. We tend to straighten up when we get around white people. I don't give a shit if you the most hardened criminal. You get that person around a white person, he tends to stiffen up a little bit and he watches the bass in his voice because you don't want to offend these little angels. You don't want to offend them at all. And what I'm saying is that this is a shitty way of doing things. You need to be countering white people. You need to wipe your ass with their rewards. It means nothing. Because at the end of the day, white people are mistreating non-white people, which means if you are a non-white person, yes, they are mistreating you. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Latino. I don't care if you're Asian. In some way, white people mistreat all non-white people. These are their systems. Their systems exclude by nature. Because they exclude amongst themselves. Because white people do not value fairness. They do not value equality. Now, if you, and let me say this and then I'll close out. Going back to the Oscars, let me say this first. Going back to the Oscars, Moonlight won. Now, I hate that I have to say this, but I do have to say this because people get so sensitive. This is not anything against homosexuality. If you are a homosexual or you're transgender, by all means, you know, you deserve respect like everybody else. You should not be mistreated. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm saying? No one should be mistreating anybody. No, let me say that again. No one should be mistreating anybody. All right. So now that that's out of the way, let me make my point. It's not a coincidence that the black movie known as Moonlight won the Oscars, got Best Picture. All right. And a lot of black people are singing the praises of the screenwriter and the screenwriter and the story in and of itself and all that. It's a big, big deal in the black community. Now, this character, again, same old story, some miserable Negro. Down and out on his luck, mom on crack or whatever she was strung out on, you know, he has the good male role model in his life is also a drug dealer. They're down and out, you know, the roof is falling off, you know, he ain't got no bed to sleep in, just a real miserable Negro life and typical of a lot of black stories. All right. And on top of that, you know, usually the black male drug dealer is associated with being like, you know, masculine individual. Well, crackers decided that, or at least crackers decided that to reward the movie that is in keeping with what many white people in Hollywood have been getting a kick out of for a long time. And that is taking, you know, strong
black men, if you have strong black men in the system, as strong as we can get, I guess, and emasculating them, You see, and I don't, this is not a coincidence. Like this movie, it won best movie, best picture of the year. And I know that a big reason for that is because it promotes, it emasculates the black male. It is anti-heterosexual relationships. And in the black community, given with all the black men that are in jail, this is very important. Heterosexual relationships are key. Good, strong heterosexual relationships in which children are produced is key. And to see such a film, to see so many images, not just this film, but to see so many images with black men, black women not being sure about their sexuality, you know what I'm saying? All these European concepts, European ideas towards sexuality. Oh, well, you know, today I think, you know, and just all these ideas about who they are. You know, Europeans wake up and, oh, I think today I'm going to be a horse. And then tomorrow they wake up and, oh, today I'm, you know, today I'm going to be a man child, whatever the hell that is. And then tomorrow they wake up and they say, you know what? I don't think that there's anything bad with man boy love. I think I'm going to be an advocate for grown men being able to love little boys. I don't see anything wrong with it. See, these Europeans playing with concepts, you know, just trying different little concepts in which to live. And when you're on top and when you dominate everybody, you can do that because you have the luxury of experimenting. As a black person, you ain't got time for that bullshit. You need to be focusing on undermining the people that's continuously kicking your ass. You need to be worried about undermining white power so that you can stop your mistreatment and their mistreatment completely. Once you do that, then you can, you know, you can wake up one day and decide to wear a dress today, and then tomorrow decide that I'm going to be a hoo-hoo. You know, that's a mixture of that's like 25% male, 25% she-male, then another 25% male, female, then a 25% baby, whatever. You can play around with these concepts with your identity all you want to knock yourself out. But right now you have work to do, and your identity, how you look at yourself and your role is crucial. And we don't have time to be meddling in, you know, roles. You know, well, you know, who's to say that women can't do exactly what a man can do? Don't worry about that. Worry about the big picture. You're being mistreated. You want to end your mistreatment. Everybody's equal. So now I'm talking to the black men out there. Do not adopt this European mentality of, well, you know, I'm supposed to be head of the household and, you know, what I say goes and blah, blah. No, that's European, dude. No, don't do that. Do not do that. It's an equal partnership. Everyone, it's okay to have roles. Why do you have roles? Because it's an efficient way to get things done. This is about getting things done. Don't let white people in their luxury of being able to meddle around with how they live their life because they're dominant over you. Don't let that fool you as to what you need to be doing. Stop being a nigga. All right. That's the end of The Brutal Truth. I hope you all enjoyed it. Make sure you come back. I'll try to be on here tomorrow to give more of my opinions on this shit that's going on because it's real shitty. It makes me sick. Until next time, take care. Your host, Copeland, signing out. Peace. We'll be right back.